This special edition of Straight Talk is brought to you by University College and Extension Services, celebrating 35 years of providing educational access and opportunity.
Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. The Press Telegram, your local news leader for over 100 years. And Laserfish, run smarter.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to the special edition of Straight Talk, a conversation with CSUB President King Alexander. Tonight we're coming to you down the road from our regular studio. The show is originating direct from the campus of CSULB at the Studios of Advanced Media Production, a division of University College and Extension Services. I would like to thank University College and Extension Services for sponsoring this special edition of Straight Talk. And Dr. King Alexander, welcome to Straight Talk as I come to your campus to do this show.
It's great to be back on your show, Art, and it's great to have you guys on campus. And welcome home.
Thank you so much. 61,000 applications for admission this past year. Only 7,500 students could be admitted. This university has increasingly become the university of choice for students.
It certainly has, and it's not just in our region of Southern California. It's all over the state of California. As you know, we have more special admissions. We have special admissions for many of our regional students within about our 10-mile radius around the campus, which many of our students come from, but increasingly, the students that are applying are coming to us from Sonoma, they're coming to us from Napa Valley, San Francisco, Merced, all the way up to Humboldt. And these types of numbers, I think, are indicative of the type of attraction that our campus has become throughout California.
Well, just for the record, I've been a faculty member on this campus for 32 years and seen the campus through many iterations, and the beach is hot.
The beach is very hot. It's very hot, and we'll have of that 61,000 population, we'll be enrolling about 4,200 new freshmen next year. The rest will be transfer students from primarily the 4 to 6 local community colleges that we work very closely with to make sure that we have smooth transitions between the 2-year and 4-year institutions.
And I know we're the second largest campus in the state following UCLA based on full-time equivalent enrollment. But we really could be the largest if you wanted to open up the gates, but you don't want to do that.
Well, unfortunately, just due to the class size and our ability, just the space on campus, and we want to make sure that we are indeed protecting the quality of what we're offering. We are growing about 750 students a year, which is a little bit more than most institutions nationwide. And the remarkable thing is that it hasn't negatively impacted the type of education that we're offering or negatively impacted the value of the degrees that we're
granting. So you want to maintain the quality as you handle growth.
I think that is indeed and one of the greatest challenges that we face in California and also a challenge for our institution. If we wanted to, we could certainly open the doors next year and not only become the largest in California, but become the largest in the United States
really?
In about 3 years.
Really?
Looking at these types of application numbers.
Well, I know that one of your commitments is to make the campus more user-friendly for the students. And we all know, we who are on campus know about the Starbucks in the library and coffee shops in the dormitories. And you want it to be more of a 24/7 place where people can hang out and stay and do stuff other than just go to classes.
Well, certainly, and I think we have had a long standing and reputation from decades ago that has stigmatized the campus as more of a commuter place. I think we were losing that, and President Maxson started a trend of pushing the envelope and getting rid of sort of the commuter nature and stereotype of the campus. And we're going to continue very aggressively moving towards decommuterizing the university, which basically means we're going to be providing services, opportunities, hoping that our students come to campus, not just to go to class, but come to campus to live, learn, and grow together.
And I know that the students recently approved that new rec center, which will be a major new facility.
That was a wonderful election where 75% of our students voted to construct a new $65 million student recreational wellness center. That'll be state-of-the-art, and we anticipate it'll be the best in the United States, and that will also change the dynamics of students wanting to be here on campus after class, weekend activities, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. We want our students here. We want them here all the time, and we're going to open up our doors and make sure they have the opportunities that pull them to our campus all times a day.
One of the thoughts I always had, and I know it's a tough problem to solve, but bringing the fraternities and sororities onto campus from their current locations scattered throughout the city, which in some cases is problematic.
It is problematic. I worry a little bit about the safety of where some of them are located, too. What we'd like to do ultimately is have fraternities and sororities congregated in a single area. So that they can.
You mean on campus or off campus?
Well, anywhere really, and as you know, land is the premium issue here in our area as well as other areas of Southern California. That's in the long term plan, is to get the fraternity and sorority, the Greek alumni, together to make sure that they're also supportive, which they would be supportive of putting them together, and to create an environment so they're not piecemealed together somewhat like they are today, where they're here, there, and other places, but they're much closer to campus where they can walk and benefit from the type of things that we offer all the time.
And related to that, of course, is faculty and student housing, and I know that's a top priority for you.
It is a top priority, and we have about 30% of our faculty that are renting still. And as we pull in new young faculty from all over the United States, this year we'll pull in about 85 to 90 new faculty. Last year we had about 78 new faculty, which are the two largest classes of new faculty that we've had in 25 years come to our campus. We need to make sure that they can find affordable housing, and we're getting very aggressive about how we're doing this. Most recently, the city council meeting of the Press Telegram building, the October 5 development, will offer 60 opportunities for our faculty to move into the downtown area. We're going to continue looking for other options so that they have multiple options throughout our community and in Orange County.
Because the incredibly high cost of housing in California can be a disincentive to attracting faculty members that otherwise might want to come here.
It certainly is. I mean, we're competing, when you're competing against the University of Kansas, Chapel Hill, we're competing with some of the best universities in the country to get some of the top faculty in the country. And they don't have to worry about these issues. At Champaign-Urbana, where I was, it wasn't an issue the university had to worry about. At Madison, Wisconsin, it was not an issue they had to worry about. They just assumed the faculty would find a place to live and come in and be fine. It is an issue that we need to tackle, and we need to get aggressive in using how our foundation is used and how and our foundation exploring opportunities to help our faculty in a lot of ways.
Great. Well, we'll be continuing this fascinating conversation with the Prez, but first we have to pause for these messages.
Electricity is different from any other product we use. We can't store it. We must use it wisely, but can't do without it completely. And there's no substitute for this special form of energy that brings us light, comfort, and progress. That's why California needs new standards that can keep utilities strong, guard against another power crisis, and protect consumers from the kind of shortages that often affect other commodities. Because electricity is different.
The Port of Long Beach, one of the region's largest construction contractors, has work for businesses big and small. The SBE, or Small Business Enterprise Program, was established by the Board of Harbor Commissioners in 2004 to boost the local economy. Through this program, small businesses get a chance at big port contracts in the areas of construction, environmental consulting, engineering and architectural services, and more. To learn more, log on to www.polb.com or call 562-590-4146.
Let's unravel high-definition television. First of all, it's twice as sharp as regular TV, and prices have dropped dramatically. There's also tons to watch, like sports, movies, and concerts. You should see it on Panasonic's new 50-inch plasma display. You can check it out at Avid Electronics in Long Beach. What else are you going to do with your free time? Origami?
Original Renaissance Pleasure Fair, now in L.A. at Santa Fe Dam.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation with King Alexander, the president of California State University Long Beach, the sixth president of the university. And King, you got your Ph.D. in higher education policy and your master's in comparative education policy from Oxford. You're one of the rare presidents that was actually trained for this job. I mean, it's a great fit.
Well, it's interesting because sometimes I wear two hats because I've been a researcher in this world and a teacher and a faculty member in this world. We're teaching higher ed finance and economics. And I've spent 10 years teaching students about the intricacies of higher ed policy, not only in the United States, but in many other countries throughout the world. So it's interesting to when we study our issues and we can pull from a lot of the developments and a lot of the policy initiatives going on worldwide to perhaps reform our own policies to build stronger higher education systems and make them more user-friendly for our students.
Well, and of course, you were president at Murray State in Kentucky before accepting this assignment. And so you really are an expert in higher education. What are some of the issues you've been dealing with?
Well, I think the biggest issue, the biggest macro issue worldwide is the fact that higher education has never been more important to society than it is today. And it's a good thing. I think it's a product of...
Why is it so important?
Because the economies, people have finally come to the realization that knowledge-based human capital is created in schools, it's created in universities, it's created in colleges. And whether you're reading Thomas Friedman or Richard Florida or going back to many of the commission reports from India
to... So knowledge creates wealth.
Knowledge creates wealth, and not just individual wealth, but more importantly, legislative bodies throughout the world are realizing that knowledge creates societal wealth. Social gain, it creates economic gain. And today, unlike any other time in history, there is a consensus of thought regarding this issue, and it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Tory or a Labor Party official. They're all united on the front that access is necessary.
Well, as global trade increases global competition and we lose out to lower wage countries as far as our manufacturing base, which is a huge issue, what replaces it is, as you suggest, intellectual capital. And in my course in government regulation, one of the points we make is that, and this was shocking to me when I first found out, that the value of the intellectual property in this country, the IP, mm-hmm. is more than the economic value of all the factories, plants, and equipment.
Yeah, I would agree completely with that. I think that there's a realization that the greatest natural resource of any country or any city or community like ours is not oil, gas, or gold or diamonds. It's actually the minds of children and the minds of students.
And I have a theory about California. Let me throw this out to that California, which is an open state, still has that free spirit. It's not an accident that three of the most creative industries in the country or in the world are based here in California. The movie industry, the Silicon Valley, both software and hardware, and also automotive design that was pointed out to me by Jack Kaiser. Yeah. This is pure creation out of the mind, and the centers for these three are here in California.
Well, and there's even, I think, a stronger national example. When the GI Bill first came out, Truman's recommendation to give the soldiers higher education opportunities, there was a lot of resistance against the GI Bill. And universities, even the
really?
Higher ed community, and it was even stated by President of University of Chicago and the New York Times.
That what was the objection?
The objection is, quite honestly, the statement in the New York Times that it would turn our universities into hobo jungles. That was the first objection. The second objection...
Meaning what?
Meaning that it would dumb...
Letting them
it would dumb
into
down,
it?
They said it would dumb down the universities and what higher education meant. And the second objection, which I think is even more significant, was the objection that there weren't enough job opportunities when they leave college.
Oh, wow.
And they'd all end up walking the streets with college degrees.
Wow.
What they did not anticipate was by providing the type of educational opportunities to the soldiers that came back, they created their new economies. They created the new economies that led to the type of industries that we saw in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
So not only was it moral and fair to these men and women that had risked their lives, giving them a chance,
precisely.
But it was good for society
as a whole.
It
turned out to be the greatest experiment that we ever undertook in higher education up to that point in our history. And they took the expansion of their minds, the application of what they did in college, and then when they put it into the economy and put it into effect, our economy took off.
Wow.
And so you can't judge today's economy by you can't measure a higher education access by what's going to happen in today's economy. What you need to do is look forward and what we're creating in the future.
So what would be the lesson learned from that applicable to today?
The lesson learned from that is that universal access, and we're seeing this not only in the United States, has now been accepted. It's been accepted throughout the United States. It's been accepted on virtually every state legislature in the United States. But it's also been accepted from Australia to Canada. And the policies that they've implemented just in the last 10 years have propelled them to catch up with us in terms of access to higher education and completion rates to higher education. Now we're in a much, much more intense competition worldwide for knowledge-based human capital.
What I hear you saying, that America, which some people think is at risk of losing its competitive edge, certainly in the losing some of our manufacturing base, to maintain supremacy economically, we have to invest in this human capital through our universities.
We have to keep our own, and we have to go out and get others. And I think it was best said to me in a dinner in Australia, in Canberra, Australia, a couple years ago, when their Undersecretary of Education leaned over and said, "Thank you for putting up such restrictions to get into the United States for international students." And this was after,
you mean after 9/11.
After 9/11, because now we're getting all your computer scientists and engineers.
Yeah.
And I think that's a telling statement about about how we need to realize public policy can influence the future economic growth or hurt our future economic growth.
Wow. We'll be back with this great discussion, but first we have to pause for these commercial messages.
Bill Trainees mixes California style with continental cuisine that includes fresh seafood from around the world. Since Bill is the chef, the menu has a wide variety of pastas, salads, soups, and appetizers that feature his unique personal touch. And the Italian-American signature dishes are simply beyond delicious. You never know who you're going to run into at Trainees, from the famous sports legends on the Wall of Fame to local celebrities having a drink at the bar. For the best fine dining experience, visit Bill Trainees.
At Performance Plus Tire, you'll find we carry Toyo tires. For over 50 years, Toyo has been a world leader in the development of high-quality tires. Optimum performance, safety, and a comfortable ride. That's what makes Toyo tires great. And now come into Performance Plus Tire for a great deal on these Toyo tires. Proxies ST, Open Country AT, and Proxies 4. Toyo tires, driven to perform. Come in today and we'll install new Toyo tires on your vehicle while you wait. Performance Plus Tire on Cherry Avenue, 1 mile north of the 405 in Long Beach.
Welcome to Golden Security Bank. We are committed to providing commercial real estate loans that meet your specific needs. Golden Security Bank has been a wholesale lender in Southern California more than 20 years, and we've also been the top-ranked bank under $1 billion in assets and are now funding loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million. With our experienced team of loan consultants that have more than 70 years of combined commercial lending expertise, you will get a yes answer fast. Golden Security Bank, we look forward to putting our experience to work for you.
Welcome to Morey's of Naples. Morey's is a unique store specializing in wine, spirits, beers, gift baskets, gourmet foods, and European specialties. Upon entering, you'll encounter a vast selection and a staff that is more than willing to assist you. Take time to look around. You'll be amazed. Wine and beer tasting is held every week. Visit Morey's.com to get the latest information. Morey's of Naples, since 1938, where customer satisfaction is our top priority.
Continuing our conversation with King Alexander, we were talking about the macroeconomic impacts in the last segment, but Long Beach State has an enormous impact right here in the Long Beach community.
We have an amazing macro impact and a micro impact on our own community, and we've, about a year ago, completed our economic development study, the impact study, and it shows that naturally, most of the people know our expenditures per year, about $470 million a year. But what we return to this community annually is roughly about $1.3 billion through into our region. That's in student spending and faculty spending and the multiplier effects that all feed into this type of resources that come to our campus.
So this university not only provides intellectual capital for the greater Long Beach community, but also hard economic value.
Oh, just real dollars. Real important dollars. In fact, there are communities all over the United States who would do anything to just get an extended campus in their cities or their communities because of not only the economic value of keeping and retaining their best and brightest students, but also the economic value of pulling in so many resources.
Your beloved predecessor, Dr. Bob Maxon, used to say that without a great city, a university can't be great, and without a great university, a city can't be great. And we certainly noticed how both the university and the city grew under the 11 years that Bob was here and continues to grow now under your leadership.
And I think that relationship is a very integrated one. And the city will grow more when companies, the type of companies that we want to have and the type of industries that we want to have come here, those are the ones that appreciate high-quality, knowledge-based human capital.
Sure.
They're the ones that are going to pay attention to the fact that Long Beach has a university in it that graduates 500 engineers a year. They're the ones that are going to pay attention to a city that has a university educating 288 nurses who are graduating every year and 1,100 school teachers we're putting into the public school system. Those are the good companies. Those are the ones that will be around for a lot, and those will have many spillover effects on our community here in Long Beach.
Let's shift to another topic, King. We've read recently about financial aid scandals on campuses where campus financial aid offices had economic investments or benefited otherwise economically in companies that were making student loans, and the students were not getting the best deal because of this conflict of interest. Let's just clarify for the record the situation in Long Beach State. We're not involved.
We've got a wonderful system. It's called a blind review where we have a preferred lender list, but it's to get on the preferred lender list, you have to we assess their ability to offer benefits to students, period.
To me, it's so absolutely outrageous that there would be people working at universities that would sacrifice the economic interest of students for their own financial. I mean, that is just outrageous.
Well, it's much deeper than that. And there are individuals who are, I think USC's had an issue with it, Syracuse and a bunch of many private universities in the Northeast that are quickly buying out the Attorney General of New York, Andrew Cuomo's efforts to inquire into what they've been doing. But this has been in New York Times about once every 2 days. Another institution or a couple other institutions that had formalized these relationships with banks and lending authorities. I think they're just at the tip of the iceberg here.
Really?
And this has been a really important issue that throughout the 1990s, there was a lot of pushback when universities were moving towards direct lending and getting the middle player out of the system, which were the banks and the lending authorities, the student lending authorities. The Congress, the United States Congress, put caps on how many institutions could do this because the banks were screaming about
the lobbyists are running the show still.
The lobbyists are running the show. And when you go to Washington and when we're working on reauthorization for the Higher Ed Act to improve these grants, to improve these loans so it impacts students, we've got to deal with the banks and the student lending authorities who actually have more money going into these lobbying initiatives, pouring more money into capital
campaigns.
Another
example of the corrupting influence of money in politics, I might add personally.
We need to reform this system, and right now we invite this type of inquiry. We want them to keep digging. We want them to keep digging much deeper. I think even when you get into the relationships between the massive for-profit higher education industry and these banks, you're going to find some interesting interrelated relationships with money flowing back and forth.
And just for the record, the California Attorney General, Jerry Brown, is also looking into this.
Yeah, we welcome this. We welcome it on a national scale. And in fact, it is already starting. We're working to get it incorporated into the new proposals in the reauthorization of the Higher Ed Act to get these middle players out so our students benefit, not these banks and lending authorities.
Outstanding. We just have a few minutes left, King, and what about some personal thoughts? Moving from Kentucky to California, from Murray State to Cal State, you have three lovely daughters. Have they adapted? Have you adapted to California and Long Beach?
This is a wonderful place, and all the surprises we've dealt with have been very positive and wonderful surprises. Long Beach is a small town.
Yes, it is. It's a big city with a small town.
It's a big city with big city choices and big city offerings, cultural, the diversity. It's globally, the global offerings are just wonderful throughout our whole area. However, it's small in how it functions. It's small in getting things done, and it is, I think, is the nicest surprise of coming here. My daughters love it here. They're California girls. They call home and tell everybody they're not California girls. Now, they do have a little Kentucky accent thrown in there, but
so we may get an exodus of Kentuckians now coming out.
Well, we had a long period of getting the Iowa folks, you may get a lot more Kentuckians out here now.
Well, great. Well, we will be wrapping up this show, but first we have to take a pause for these messages.
Welcome to McKenna's on the Bay, where fine dining is complemented with a breathtaking view. McKenna's is a restaurant of incredible ambiance, providing service and cuisine with style, class, and romance. The menu offers a variety of appetizers, serious seafood, prime steaks, an oyster bar, and specialty entrees for either lunch or dinner. McKenna's on the Bay features patio dining, nightly entertainment, and two banquet facilities. No matter what your occasion, McKenna's on the Bay is like being on vacation. Join us today at McKenna's on the Bay.
Founded in 1976, Polly's Gourmet Coffee is Southern California's most complete gourmet coffee store. Polly's has the best tasting coffee freshly roasted every day right in the store, plus a wide selection of teas, an in-house bakery, espresso bar, patio dining, and more. We also offer Wi-Fi, free internet access for all of our customers. Our nationwide clientele agree when it comes to coffee, there's only one name to remember, Polly's. 4606 East 2nd Street, welcoming you into Belmont Shore.
Care of those who are closest to you, from our family to yours. McCarty's Jewelry, since 1932.
At Naples Rib Company, we've been around for over 20 years for a lot of good reasons.
Our banquet and catering services.
Our takeout and delivery.
And our great commercials.
Food fit for a king.
Naples Rib Company, for a real meal and a family deal.
So we don't do great commercials. Find out what we do best at Naples Rib Company.
We're back in a fascinating conversation with the president. First, I wanted to thank University College and Extension Services for sponsoring this special edition of Straight Talk. Thanks also to Dave Kelly and the crew of Advanced Media Production at Cal State Long Beach for hosting us in their studio for tonight's show. Let me just say, as a 32-year faculty member here at Long Beach State, we were blessed to have the leadership of Bob Maxson for 11 years. And as so many people said, he's a tough act to follow. And in fact, he is. But I believe we have found someone, Dr. King Alexander, who is such a worthy successor to that and is going to bring the university to new heights. And King, we're very lucky to have you here on this campus.
Now, that's awfully kind of you to say. We have wonderful people here on this campus. And my job is to let them to figure out a way to let them do their jobs and do it better.
Yeah. Well, every university, every institution has problems. But if you have leadership at the top that you really believe in, it makes a huge difference.
Well, thank you, Art. It's a wonderful university. We have a wonderful campus family and community, and we're gonna bring back our 225,000 alumni out there to be a part of it too.
Amen to that. And we're gonna get some more wins in the basketball column, and we have a new head basketball coach, a new athletic director, a new provost, a lot of new folks here.
A lot of new folks, but the nice thing is they're all committed to the same things that our campus are truly committed to, and that's the education of students, providing opportunities that change lives, and that's what we do.
A wonderful note on which to end. Thank you for joining us for this great half hour with President King Alexander.